Hi, y'all.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Yes. The jingle stops, and here we are. Karen Deemer from the city of Arcata. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you ready for your question?
Oh,
now that you're all caffeined up.
So I can go down 111 times now.
I thought coffee was the caffeine carrier more than tea.
Well, it is.
Or can you get tea that's jacked up also?
Well, you can. I'm just drinking green tea this morning, but hopefully it'll be enough with the sun. Combo. Green tea and sun should give me
more. You just need a longer drive in the morning then. Okay. Are you ready? Why do we say that someone with money is well-heeled?
Well-heeled. Healed.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. It must have something to do with
Was that like shoes. Almost a wine?
Was that a wine? Oh, I mean, well-heeled. It must be somebody who still had soles on the bottom of their shoes, huh?
Like a cobbler, maybe, from the Middle Ages?
Well, not even so much a cobbler, but somebody that was well off. I mean, you know, shoes were harder to come by. So if you had shoes that had good soles, you were well-heeled.
Or an indication of...
I'm probably going to be wrong. Literally, I think I've been wrong 110 times.
How about an indication of wealth?
Well, isn't that what the question was? Why do we say somebody who is well off?
Yeah. Okay, it's a circular answer, but you caught it, so never mind.
We're going to get caffeine. Okay. We will get more caffeine here in the studio.
Oh, this starts off so nicely. Before cockfighting was banned in 1849, individual birds were often fitted with sharp steel spurs, giving them the advantage in mortal combat. They were well-heeled. In the 19th century, the expression became slang for anyone armed with a weapon. Then around 1880, the term began to mean anyone who was well-off financially and who could overcome any obstacle with money instead of a weapon.
Well, there you have it.
Huh.
Yep.
So roosters.
Once again, the book I would get rid of if I was in the studio after hours.
No, those are those books over there that you got rid of already. Oh, give me a break. You're going to miss it. Yeah. Or you're going to tune in and laugh along as others go.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you tore up one quarter of the plaza this week, huh?
We did.
Was the road that bad?
Well, we are going to start to have full vehicle closures during the farmer's market starting tomorrow. So there were actually quite a few potholes in that section of G Street between 8th and 9th. So internally, our crews pulled it together and actually repaved and restriped and prepped that section of the plaza for kind of the summer and fall events for the plaza. So yeah, it was quick.
But you're going to go all the way around, all four?
We're not. Nope, that was the only section that we were going to do. We've got a lot of other projects going. That was the worst of the four. We will ultimately get to all of them. But
one at a time.
Yeah.
But you didn't restripe it.
Yeah, it's striped. Of course.
No, you striped where it was. You didn't change any of the striping alignments.
I don't think so. I mean, the bike lane looked a little bit larger to me, but it was good. But we do have the exciting new striping and new street configurations on 8th and 9th Street that are one way going over to K. And actually, I've gotten a ton of compliments on those, of just people that really appreciate the slower traffic, the better pedestrian connectivity, and the safe,
there's not that many houses there to talk about the slow traffic.
There are a lot of people that use that as a corridor between the university, the downtown, and the Creamery District. It's an amazing
for walking or driving
of pedestrian bicycles and driving. People
pedestrian do. Bicycles. We're coming up with these
pedestrians
new
and bicyclists.
New forms of transportation here. A pedestrian bicycle. Okay.
Well, you do use your feet on the bicycle.
Yeah. And some people have wheels under their feet. So I
know that's scary for me, but
the,
yeah.
The thing that I like. Is the diagonal or whatever it's called parking. Yeah, and you don't have to drop in those stupid kick out things and you don't have to do bumps or anything. You just alternate one side to the other.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden everybody kind of goes slow. I mean, you can't do that on major or shouldn't do it on major arteries.
Yeah.
But on the neighborhood ones like that,
yeah.
What are you out? A can of paint? And it's done.
Right.
Instead of hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, I'm sure.
Okay, well, so
I'm sure the Olsons,
it's a little bit more than just a can of paint.
Well, but yeah, in comparison, to bringing out the construction team.
Yeah. We did do some bulb outs and We will be adding a lot more bike racks, you know, bike parking facilities along 8th and 9th Street. But yeah, it is an amazing.
Wait a minute. Bike racks are different than bike parking facilities?
They can be.
What's
the
distinction?
These will probably be racks.
Okay.
But they also have like bike lockers, but those are pretty expensive. So we're looking at a few things. But
are that many people that park their bikes in that area?
Yeah, there are.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know
like
the apartment.
In that whole downtown area, you know, the other area, there are a lot of people that ride their bicycles to the Crabs games. So as we look at redoing that facility, we're looking at adding more bike racks as well.
I think you need more bleachers.
We just did the bleachers.
No. And your point?
Yeah. We want them to be full.
Oh, okay, now you're talking like the A's philosophy. Let's go from a 45,000 to a 10,000 and say that we're sold out.
Well, I think we stayed right about the same. And then, you know, they're continuing to add. We'll be doing some additional stuff on the left field, but it won't be more bleachers.
Well, no, there's no space in left field. I was thinking more of center and right center in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Give up another 15 feet of the parking lot and add capacity for another 700 or 800 people.
Yeah.
And then you can have real bleacher bums.
I would love.
And you can take it from there however direction you want.
Yeah, no, I would love to actually connect from City Hall all the way over to the transit with structural facilities that would have kind of box seating and all sorts for their office space.
Now you're thinking about Crabs Park. You're thinking about suites?
Yeah, that could be accessible right from F Street. You know, I mean, there's a lot of, but anyway. I mean, you know, we've had a long time dream of just lifting the park up to street level and putting parking underneath, too. But that's millions and millions and millions of dollars. So,
well, why don't you get Caltrans to do that instead of build your tunnel?
The tunnel is a good one.
I've had people scratch show me I guess there's a diagram or an artist's rendition floating around.
Yeah.
Laughing and going, what in the world is, and how much money is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's for an ROI basis. And I guess that's probably what a lot of folks are focusing on.
Not too many. Most people are excited about it.
Well, if
you
hang
about
out,
it after the
hang
ride.
Out with business people. It's 8:19.
Every day.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian Coconut Water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's Homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Our back. Good morning.
Yeah, Mike was off on that one. So you got a press release there?
Well, I do. I thought your listeners might want to hear a little bit about the court ruling on the Earth Flag ballot measure.
On the what?
Well, you know the.
Did you say Earth Plague?
Earth Flag.
Flag. Oh, okay. That might be another environmental position that was taken.
Well, it the is Earth Day coming up here.
Is it?
It is. The 20th?
Oh.
Or is it the 22nd?
I now, guess. Am I warped out, huh?
22nd, it's Monday.
Is it always the 22nd?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
We're celebrating it tomorrow on the plaza, however.
How?
By closing the plaza to car traffic for the farmer's market.
Has nothing to do with 420.
No, it doesn't. It just doesn't.
Your shoulders slumped
I
on that
know.
One.
It's just... Oh, that. You know, the irony of dates in life, it just never ceases to amaze me.
I hope no one gets married on 420.
Oh, I'm sure people have.
Oh, I know.
I'm
you,
sure many people
you think?
Have. Yeah.
But come on, really? Yeah. Okay. It'd be like getting married on Independence Day, so you don't have to
buy a lot of people, it
fireworks.
Means nothing, quite frankly.
Yeah.
It's just us here in Humboldt County that are
probably.
A little hypersensitive.
Yeah, well, okay.
I don't know.
I think you probably scored on that shot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway,
so you've got
back to the Earth flag.
The flag that has the globe on it.
We do.
Yes.
Yeah, and back in the election of 2022, the voters in Arcata voted by a fairly narrow margin to fly the Earth flag on the top position on city-owned flagpoles, of which we have three.
Oh, it's all of them? It's not just City Hall?
No, City Hall, the Plaza, and the Community Center are the three that the city mm-hmm. has. And so the council was
Fire Station doesn't have to do it.
They don't because it's not city-owned. The fire station is a separate district. So the council, the city attorney, anytime there's a ballot measure that's brought forth by the people, the city attorney does an independent analysis. And at the time, our city attorney determined that, you know, while it might be the will of the voters, depending on the outcome of the election, it did not comport or follow at least state law. The federal law is a little bit looser in its words, using the words, you know, kind of may as opposed to shall. But the state law was pretty clear that the United States flag needed to be in the highest position, followed by the state flag.
So what was done by the city was against state law?
Well, so that was the analysis that was put forth to the voters. But nonetheless, voters did vote in favor of the ballot measure. So the council sat with the dilemma of, do we honor the will of the voters?
Break the law or...
And the important ballot initiative process that we have, that we all support, or do we follow state law? So they did two things. At that time, they did follow the will of the voters, and they reordered the flags. So since we certified that election in December, we have been flying the Earth flag on top. They simultaneously filed for what I'll kind of call, in legal terms, declaratory relief, like a question to the court to say,
This was the city doing that?
Mm-hmm. Will you determine whether or not this ballot measure, now that it has been passed, is actually lawful?
Is it valid? Yeah.
Yeah. And the courts won't weigh in on a ballot measure prior to an election, typically.
Sure, because if it doesn't happen, who cares?
Right. Now, Governor Newsom has actually asked the California Supreme Court to weigh in on a ballot measure coming up in November. We'll talk about it at a later session of this. And the Supreme Court has agreed to take it up. So there are rare, you know, occasions that it does happen. But by and large,
there's political juice.
Right, behind them. Yeah. It wasn't quite that kind of juice in there from Arcata.
No, you just don't have it, girl.
But nonetheless, the court did take up the case after it was approved by the voters. And they did render a decision this month. Our local Superior Court judge here did determine that what was called Measure M, or our flag measure, the measure itself is not enforceable, and that it does conflict with state law, and that it would be unlawful for the city to fly the Earth flag. And he made, you know, kind of three points in his ruling. And, you know, one of them was just whether or not the state law requires what we call, the city is a general law city. We follow the laws of the state of California. Other cities are called charter cities, like Eureka.
Oh, I thought you were saying selected law cities.
No,
we just choose which ones.
We like, yeah. But they have a charter that they follow, which predominantly comports to state law, but sometimes has variations. And then he really looked at, you know, can the voters in a general law city like Arcata exempt the city from complying with a mandatory state law? And then one of the arguments that was made was, does the Earth flag, is it an expression of collective speech? Is it an expression of free speech?
Hide behind
the voters
First Amendment.
Yeah. And, you know, in answering those questions, he certainly found that it did not comport with state law. He did find also that the initiative power did not empower the voters of Arcata to exempt the city from mandatory state law.
Yeah, I would think if it had been found otherwise, pick your state amendment. It doesn't matter. You can run counter to that or federal law.
Right. And the examples that he used in the decision were, you know, could the city exempt themselves from the Public Records Act law or the Brown Act, you know, in terms of...
Oh, get more exciting than that.
Well, I'll just stick with the two that were in the decision.
All right, I'll cross this out. But yeah, everything would be fair game then.
Yeah, yeah. And that he also found that the flag expression for the city to do it did not constitute protected speech. That was...
Because it was the city rather than individuals.
Speech and not the government.
Well, do you guys have freedom of speech?
The government itself.
Or you just provide the structure for or the environment for.
Yeah. So to that end, our council elected to reorder the flags with the national flag on top starting this week. We do understand that there may be an appeal, and we could talk about that after the break.
Time check. All right, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. You're going to miss this. You know you're going to miss this. We're back talking shop with Karen Diemer.
We're going to try to hold it together for the next 20 minutes.
Okay. All right. Make it happen.
Yeah. So, well, I was just going to mention that, you know, we have heard from the opponents or from the proponents of the measure that they will be appealing the city's decision. So we will see what the court does.
But it's not the city's decision.
Well, I shouldn't say the court's decision. They will be appealing the court's decision. The city is actually, the council has tried to remain fairly neutral in this.
And yeah, you're just kind of an intermediary.
Wants it to be the community decision, the community discussion, and then the court weighing in on the law piece. So they will continue, I think, to try to take as neutral of a position as possible.
Well, is there even a role of the city council in this? I mean, if there's a voter initiative and it says thou shalt, mm-hmm. Okay, then whoever the entity is that has to do the shout does it.
Right.
Okay, I mean, they don't have to do a blessing of it. Well, that's probably a bad word, but a blessing of the decision or have an opposition to it or even comment about it. It just
Well, they made a decision
does,
initially. I mean, I guess the role that they have is that they did choose to ask the courts for a legal opinion.
But you would have done that anyway, wouldn't you?
Well, not necessarily. We could have not done that. And then we wouldn't have paid for that time, right? Like, so for the courts to take up an issue, there needs to be a conflict, right? There needs to be a plaintiff and a defendant. And they have to hear both sides and they have to render a decision. So the city did take the position of, we are arguing that this is illegal based on state law, because that's the only way that you get into a court setting.
But it could have been reversed.
Well, what it could
have been. And you would have been arguing the other side, right?
It could have been, yeah.
So
the reverse would have been that the city didn't do anything and that a third party came in, and we had many phone calls from really all over the nation. And I can't speak to whether or not those phone calls would have resulted in a lawsuit filed, but several of them seemed well-funded, connected, and very interested.
You recognize them?
The names, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And they appeared to have backing, and they called multiple times. But when I shared with them that the council themselves, the city themselves, was going to just ask in an amicable way for a court to render a decision, you know, that seemed to appease both the local folks that called and you know, folks that were affiliated with groups that were, you know, very offended by the ballot measure. You know, it seemed to appease them to not file a lawsuit then. So, you know, I can't say where we would have been if the council hadn't chosen that path. But some would say that wasn't a completely neutral path on behalf of the council, but I think they saw it as the most neutral path they could take to support the community in keeping the conversation local and not bringing in outside forces to have the conversation for us.
Yeah, that would make yeah.
Yeah.
Does the city do this type of action on a regular basis, semi-regular basis? Is this a rare instance?
It's pretty rare. You know, we had another ballot measure once around military recruiting, and we were actually sued by the Department of Defense. So the federal government came in and sued us there. So the city was able to take the position to defend the voter initiative, which we lost, but way back then. But
so it cuts both sides.
Yeah.
What's been the response to this? Have you gotten attaboys or... We're going to get you?
We've gotten both.
Or just general
the
comment.
The vote was close, yeah. And I think the response is going to be close.
So it'll end up being a 50-50.
Yeah. I do think that there, you know, will likely be an appeal. And during that appeal period, you could see the flags reverse in order again. It might basically put the lower court's decision on hold. That might happen.
Now, whose call is that? Is that counsel?
No, that is the court's call as to whether or not that lower court decision, it's called, it puts a stay on that court's decision.
Right, but I mean to reorder the flags.
Yeah. I think they will continue to follow the court order. And if the appellate court says hold on that lower court decision until we decide, I think they will continue to, I don't know, but, you know, I'd guess. So yeah. We'll see. It's maybe not dumb, but it is of interest to a lot of people in Arcata, and people can certainly reach out. We have information on our website. We did a pretty complete press release just to give a lot of the history and the background to try to put some context in what it all means.
So. On your website?
Mm-hmm. Oh, cityofarcata.org.
I'm sorry, I don't cruise it.
You have missed out on a lot of information.
I understand that there's a lot of stunning pictures of staff.
Really? Lots of pictures of our construction projects. You know, we like infrastructure in Arcata. You know this.
You know, it's not even fishing season, but it's amazing how easy it is to set a hook on you.
Yeah.
Really?
I just keep getting easier.
Oh, jeez. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:40.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer. So you've got the sewer pond work that's going on.
Wastewater treatment plant rehab happening.
You've got more, I presume, a lot more pavement work going on.
We do. We have our largest project is the rehabilitation of Old Arcata Road. So I'm actually just asking folks, if you don't have business between Buttermilk Lane and the Bayside Post Office, to please let those that do have business or kids going to school to utilize that road, because there is one-way traffic, controlled traffic, that will continue throughout the summer.
So the county responsibility only goes to the city line?
To basically where the Bayside Post Office is. So this project will culminate with a roundabout at that intersection of Jacoby Creek Road and Old Arcata. And for your listeners to know, Brian is super excited about that. Earnestly, he's really stoked.
Yeah, I'm still a fan of buttermilk bars instead of donuts. So if it was shaped like, you know, long skinny.
Then people would just go fast.
And you'd be kind of like what the road was designed to do?
Well, except how do you ever get on it if you're coming from the side street? You have to admit, those roundabouts on Buttermilk and Union are game changers and work exceptionally well.
Buttermilk,
yeah.
But I don't know what the traffic was like. That apartment complex, I spent a year there. And it was never that difficult to walk across the street. No, that was, let's just call it
a couple decades ago.
So perhaps things have changed, yeah. But the population count
They have
hasn't.
Functioned really, really well.
Yeah.
If you are in those intersections trying to get on to Old Arcata Road or Small Boulevard, they really have functioned well. So I think this one at Jacoby Creek will also. The other thing that it does, which is what it's designed to do, is to slow traffic as you come into Arcata.
Just take the 8th and 9th Street example. I'd take care of it.
Well, we could do that. We could make it one way.
Diagonal
parking.
Yeah.
If it's straight with no bumps, people go fast. I wish it wasn't that way.
Yeah, but you got the speed tables in there already.
Yeah, we have a couple.
Yeah.
It's going to be nice. I mean, the sidewalk work itself to and from the school is going to be really nice along Old Arcata.
Okay, I asked, who did I ask? Somebody. Oh, Merritt was on yesterday. I said, how much does the sidewalk cost per foot?
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, you got curbing and you got this. Okay, fine. Driveway special, whatever. How much does a sidewalk cost?
What did he say?
Basically, we need out.
Oh, he didn't tell you? I was absolutely going to go with Mitch.
Lots of variables in there. But, you know, when you're doing a project like that, how much do you allow per foot for a sidewalk?
I know. If our city engineer, Nature, was sitting here, he would tell you by foot. But I could not tell you.
Okay. I'm just curious because, you know, there are lots of places inside of Incorporated that don't have sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
And you're told as a property owner that if you know, the sidewalk is not the city's responsibility, it's your responsibility. And if you, and we may tell you, you have to put in a sidewalk.
Especially if you build a new house.
Or you do
a significant improvement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then we find out. It's like the laterals.
Well, and the cost for you to put in the sidewalk might be substantially less than what it costs the city at prevailing wage.
Oh, I don't have existing staff.
We don't lay most of the concrete. We do a little concrete work with staff, but most of the concrete work that you see in Arcata is all contract out. Yeah,
that's why we like the Olsons.
We do. They do great work. We have a lot of great local contractors. We really do.
Yeah. Well,
I think we have every one of them under contract right now.
I don't know. Is that good or is that bad?
It's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I love that your local tax dollars are supporting local contract businesses.
Oh, I'm just thinking there might be too many local tax dollars being used. Period.
Our community and your communities too, like they want to see improvements. Everybody wants. I mean,
but why,
we just went out.
But why
and
such
surveyed.
Wide variables on pricing? I heard that hookup in the Shelter Cove district, $35,000, and that there are other jurisdictions that are $2,000 or $3,000.
Right.
Okay. It's kind of like the city or the county, what's that other entity? The state. Saying, well, the deficit's somewhere between 32 and 64.
Right.
Gee, I think I could hit that target.
Right.
How do you straight face even say that, right, let alone be that loosey-goosey with it?
Yeah.
So these prices that are, it's still labor, it's still pipe, you still got a backhoe involved. Mm. How does it range so wildly?
Mostly probably by population. I mean, if you don't have a large population like Shelter Cove, you don't have a wide population to spread those costs over. So when you're hooking up to the sewer system, you are paying for that actual staff time maybe to do that hookup, but you're also buying into the system that has, needs maintenance, ongoing rehab, and you're paying a fee for that too. So you're paying the connection, but then you're also paying that kind of capacity charge within the system. And if you only have, let's say 1,000 hookups versus 1,000,000 hookups, those costs can be really varying.
So there's an economy of scale.
Yeah, and if you have a brand new city, depending on when that went in and depending what source of funds were used to build that city out, we even look at, McKinleyville has much newer infrastructure than, Arcata or Eureka would. So, we are right now.
So does that mean it would be more expensive?
Would be less expensive because they're not doing this kind of rehab maintenance typically. They will eventually.
Oh, so you're saying their operating costs are less?
Mm-hmm. Right now, because they're just not out doing as many repairs, not replacing as many pumps, not replacing as many motors,
So they don't have as many staff?
Probably not. I mean, I haven't looked at their staffing numbers. I mean, but the system will age, right? So depending on, depending on what that jurisdiction is doing to plan for the future. And, we look at our Arcata system, we're making a huge investment. We recognize that investment's going to get us another 50 years. We also recognize probably between 75 and 100 years from now, we will start to retreat from the coastline, right? So we need to start saving and planning for what people sitting in our positions are going to do in 80 years when they are forced to retreat in our treatment plant.
Just to have a money set aside?
Money,
or do you
planning,
start building the levees and the dikes right now?
If you can, right? We'll see. I mean, that's going to be adaptive in terms of what the Coastal Commission will allow communities to do to protect coastline.
A shovel full a day, nobody's going to see.
Brian has just gotten himself a new job.
Yeah, I can sling one shovel a day.
Yeah. We'll start to... technology will change. So, what the land mass that we're going to need to treat wastewater in the future might look different, but we do need
the population will change too.
Yeah,
I would imagine that there's probably going to be more people discovering
growth in this region.
But you look back the last 50, not really.
But if you look back the last 10, really.
Have we?
Yeah. In Arcata. The county.
Well, that's right. You're kind of myopic in your view. It was 135,000 45 years ago.
Yeah.
And we've grown, what, 15,000 people?
The county did see a decline. You know, if you just look at
something about jobs, I think, is associated with population growth.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Well, we must have good jobs in Arcata because we're growing.
Oh, I see. try to plant that dagger, huh? Well, it is interesting the composition of communities also, mm-hmm. whether it's rentals or mm-hmm. or what is it, what they call it, multi dwelling units.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and I think with the mother-in-law units or again whatever mm-hmm. the current jargon
accessory
is.
Dwelling units, ADUs.
Okay.
Yep.
Great. Right.
Keep you up to date.
Yeah, you betcha. Without having additional homes, you're having additional capacity issues.
Yeah.
I would think that could be the source of a lot of the challenge, you know, whether it's a single person or a starter family or who knows what.
Yeah, we have, you know, we have talked about capacity issues in our treatment plant. We actually have quite a bit of capacity in the plant itself. Where we have gotten into trouble is during the rainy season. We have a lot of water flow because we have an older system.
Supply increase.
That is, coming into our system. So, but the nice, I mean, I would say the bad thing about that is that it exists. But the nice thing about it is that with pipelining and maintenance, we actually can reduce that amount of infiltration into our system and we can rebuild capacity. So we have a huge project coming up to really focus on INI, what we call, you know, that infiltration, and that will gain quite a bit of capacity.
So it's not the gutters off the street.
Sometimes they can be plugged
it's
directly
leaky
in,
pipes
but it's leaking that, in. It's joints that are bad. It's manholes that are low. Yeah.
Overwatering your lawn.
Yeah, I mean, if you walk through a neighborhood in September and you see brown grass with one green stripe, you know where their sewer lateral is, and you know that it's not holding water well.
Don't eat those tomatoes.
Wow, see, we really took a turn this morning. I'm
all
sorry about
kinds
that,
of
listeners.
Urban insight right here, right now. Oh boy. Well, thanks for coming by, and congratulations on the flag.
Yeah, have a great weekend.
See everybody on Monday.